When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Joe Rogan Experience Review.
What a bizarre thing we've created.
Now with your host, Adam Thorne.
This might either be the worst podcast or the best one
two,
of all time.
One, go.
Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of the Joe Rogan Experience Review. Joined as always, my sidekick in crime, Todd. How are you today?
Hey, buddy. I'm doing great.
Fucking technical difficulties, Todd. That's your new name.
People need to stop messing with the buttons over here. I'm going to blame it on someone else.
Hey, it's a lot of pressure when you're running a studio, bro.
Son of a
All
gun.
Right, this week we got some cool guests. We got Zach Bryan, who I've been waiting for Joe to have on for some time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. Love that guy's music. Patrick Bet David, interesting dude,
mm-hmm.
huge podcast, pretty influential dude. And then if we have time, we'll finish up with good old Brian Callen. Nice to see him back.
Yeah.
Nice.
Good
to see
chats
him back.
This week. Good chats this week, buddy. What'd you think?
Yeah, Jeff? There were some fun ones, you know, the Patrick Bet David one was getting a little heavy and my God, I think that was the most gifts anyone's ever brought Rogan. It was like 30 minutes of gift giving. Like, what is this, Christmas?
Well,
but it's nice, though.
He really wants to get Trump on. Really just would not stop.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, let's start up with Zach Bryan. Are you familiar with his music at all?
Wonderful musician.
So good, right?
Yeah, my brother-in-law showed me him. He's way into it.
Yeah. Dude, that one video where he's just like by a campfire singing, and then at the end he gets pretty choked up. That's amazing.
You know, I didn't realize how young he was. What is he, 28, 27 years old? He's a young guy, man.
I meant to look that up.
Super
he is
young. I mean, definitely doesn't act his age at all.
Right. Well, definitely not in his lyrics.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, he's got some great songwriting. Absolutely fucking awesome songwriting, really.
Yeah, it says he's 27.
27 years old, buddy.
Damn.
He's what would you call that new country? It's like this new country that's actually sounds like old country. Do they have a term for that now? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it sounds
I don't
like,
know enough about
but it sounds that. More like, you know, the songs of the 70s, like kind of like outlaw country. It doesn't sound like 90s country where it's poppy. Right, like it's
yeah,
actually
it's definitely
songwriting.
Not poppy.
It's like good songwriting again. It's not just like I went and got a fucking truck and down by the fence and went to see my grandma.
Dusty boots.
It's way more soulful. Like you said, it kind of just reminds you of being by the campfire with your homies. That you know someone's a really good musician, and they get to the campfire, and everyone's just kind of mesmerized by the song.
For sure. I think there's just a lot of pressure because like the country charts are different than the regular charts, right? They
mm-hmm.
have like their own charts. So for them to jump into a bigger version of mainstream, it kind of makes sense that they would have a poppy version.
Yeah.
Right.
But they want to
even
that.
If you think of Eminem has some like dark songs, but he always does that are like true to like his style of rap and all the rest of it. But he always comes out with like one or two on his album that is like that. You know, jigga jigga Slim Shady. You know, it's just like silly. But he knows I've got to have like two big pop ones on there that everyone
totally.
Will just listen to. And then I get away with 10 songs that are just, you know, him talking about his pill addiction or how much he hates his ex-wife.
Or, what was it? The Stan one in the rain where he gets in the car crash. That was a freaking good one. I can't think how it goes.
Oh, That's a great track.
Yeah, come on.
Great track. But he's smart like that. You know, he knows, like, you got to have the pop one on there. But I guess with these guys, Zach, it doesn't sound like that's his style. He doesn't want a pop one on there.
Mm-mm.
You're either into his songs or not. And I think he's cool with it. But he's blowing up, dude. I mean, he is big.
I feel like Sturgill Simpson kind of started this. And I don't know enough about the country music scene, but I loved Sturgill Simpson. And they talked about him. And I remember when he came out and no one really knew who he was, and then he got really famous, and then you kind of start seeing the Zach Bryans and the Tyler Childers, right? There's a couple others that I really like, but they all sound similar in a good way. It's not the 90s bullshit country, even though I love that stuff because it reminds me of my mother. It's so played out. Like, it's just so typical of the 90s where everything kind of sounds the same.
Yeah.
And nowadays,
but I think that happens with music anyway. It's like, let's say everyone now really starts to get into this style of country.
Yeah.
Then the new change will be kind of rolling it back to pop until we're all sick of it again. It just kind of does that. It just goes round and round. Like, each generation is looking for something that's new for them, even though we heard it, you know, in the 90s or whatever.
Yeah. What's the one I took my horse to the hotel? The
Ache it, break it, heart.
No. The newer guy who they said wasn't country because he's like the gay black dude who has what the hell's his name? It's like Nas X, Little Nas X.
Oh yeah, that's right.
He got
just
super
Nas
famous.
X or...
Lil Nas X.
He was an unlikely country star.
I would say. I still feel like he was just faking it, just to get in there, which was a great idea. That's just a theory.
Yeah. Kind of nailed it. I'm sure there were plenty of country fans that did not care for that guy.
Oh yeah. Well, and then what's his name? Miley Cyrus's dad came out and was on the track with him, and that's how he got in, right? Because he had the legend that is.
I think so. Yeah.
What's Miley Cyrus?
Billy Ray.
Billy Ray had freaking Lil Nas X's back, dude, on that one.
Yeah,
he was like, no, this
comeback,
is country.
Yeah.
This is country. I'm
I wonder if that song was bigger than Achy Breaky Heart. I bet it was.
Probably, dude. You heard it everywhere for like a year, and now you don't hear it anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you heard Achy Breaky forever, though. That was like great one-hit wonder for him. I don't know if he had other big songs.
But wasn't that... So I think the story behind that was he was getting similar... Smackdown from the country music industry when he came out with Achy Breaky Heart, because it was so much different than the country that was going on at the time.
Huh.
One of his songs, maybe it wasn't Achy Breaky, but he had a similar thing happen to him where he was getting a little too poppy, and they, you know, these old, you know, white dudes, country dudes are like, no, this isn't country music, boy.
Yeah. But so, whatever.
What'd you have for notes, buddy? I've got a lot of notes with Mr. Zach Bryan.
It was his Navy background was interesting. So what is he? Third generation Navy. Figured he'd be in there doing that his whole life until he retired. And kind of, it seems like accidentally became a musician, like liked it, but this wasn't really necessarily the plan, or he could, you know, didn't really see himself as one. And it just happened to be that some of his songs kind of went viral and were that good that it just kind of, it wouldn't have made sense. I mean, he's so famous now and popular because of his songs. Staying in the Navy would have been like weird, probably. If he wanted to, I don't think he had a choice.
That was it. As he said, his commander or whoever was in charge of him staying in the Navy or not, right, they told him he had to leave because it was a conflict of interest at that point because he was so famous from the YouTube videos that he was putting out. Right,
that's nuts.
It was this. It was a similar story. He said the only other artist who that happened to was Elvis. Like
Elvis was already way famous before he got drafted.
Right, but that was the reason why he didn't have to go to war. Right, because he was already famous, and it's strange that Zach Bryan gets a free ticket out of the Navy, and he wasn't even really famous yet. He just had one or two songs that went completely viral. I mean, I guess he was famous on the internet.
Yeah.
Enough for it to get him out of the Navy, which is nuts. It was cool that his dad was into it. His dad was all about it, even though, you know, his dad, his grandfather, and his mother were all like generals or something.
Well, they were all in the military. I don't know if his mom was. Did he say his mom was?
He said his mom was, too. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's not super uncommon, you know, generations of, you know, and it's a good job. It sets you up for life if you stick with it. I mean, You know, and now he's really basically talked a lot about trying to find a new balance. You know, I guess he's didn't, you know, he was drinking a bit when, of course, because you become a rock star, you know, you're going to be doing that. He wasn't exercising enough. And, you know, he's been touring a couple of years and he's having to really slow down and be like, shit, how do I take care of myself and do this?
Yeah, he's growing up at 27. Good for him.
Yeah.
You kind of have to at that point. I mean, but then they talk about, I mean, how long has Mick Jagger been sober? I don't know how long, but he's bringing in his workout equipment, right? He had 3 trucks of workout equipment.
This podcast is brought to you by DraftKings Casino. Step into a world of nonstop action on DraftKings Casino. Play the classics like blackjack, roulette, and slots. Plus, enjoy exclusive games you can't find anywhere else. Right now, new customers can get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. All you have to do is sign up, select the offer, make your deposit, and start playing from a full suite of games. It's awesome. Do it. Download the DraftKings Casino app now. Sign up with promo code JRER, and new customers get a deposit match up to $100 in casino credits when you deposit $5 or more. Only on DraftKings Casino with promo code JRER.
On his tour.
2 workouts a day.
I mean, buddy.
It's badass. I mean, but to keep going at that age and rock out as hard as he does, you probably don't have a choice.
And he's the same age as Biden.
It's crazy.
Right? What'd you think about...
I trust him to ride a bike, for sure.
Joe DiMaggio syndrome, which I'd never heard of. I liked that. How Joe DiMaggio, someone came up to him and said, you're Joe DiMaggio, or DiMaggio. Joe DiMaggio.
Gosh.
You know, you're already so famous. Why try so hard, right? You're Joe DiMaggio. Why do you got to try so hard? Well, it's for the one kid in the crowd or anyone in the crowd who's never seen me play baseball before.
Right.
That was badass. And then Zach Bryan had a similar...
That's a beautiful message for any entertainer.
His dad
told
him that. So Zach Bryan's dad told him about Joe DiMaggio syndrome, which I had never heard of. And he takes that with him to every concert he plays, right? He gets on stage. He's freaking stoked. He plays his fucking heart out, even though he doesn't have to. But that's a true performer right there, right?
Yeah.
Look at you performing right now, Adam. You're a great performer on the mic, baby. Come on.
No, I'm just talking.
Bring it.
I don't have to perform shit, dude. I just have to not be depressed or distracted when I'm doing a pod. That's my only obligation.
Oh, you got to keep that smile on, though. People can hear it in your voice. But it's good to hear.
You don't want to be in a grumpy mood. But you know, our requirements are so much lower than what he has to do. Like,
dude,
when he gets out there, he's got to make it seem like it's the performance of his life for those people.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many band members do this.
Think
right?
Of
like
how much
I've
pressure.
Seen
so much pressure.
My old roommate used to really like Coldplay. Mm-hmm. And I liked him, you know, English band. But early on, we'd go to those concerts. And I was always amazed of like how much they put in. Like you would watch it and it really did feel like this was the biggest performance of their life. And it's just another one of their performances on the tour. You know, it's like, oh, we're in Cleveland. I saw him in Cleveland and then I saw him in LA. Like maybe the LA one, you could be like, oh yeah, this is obviously a big show. It's LA.
Mm.
But even the Cleveland one, they put everything into it.
Just as good.
And incredible, dude.
Incredible. Which is good
to see.
But
people pay a lot of money for that. Like it's a respect thing, I think.
I've been to a couple shows where there was, what was it? It was the AC/DC. So it was a all woman cover band of AC/DC, and I was all excited. We were in San Francisco with my brother. We had a smaller club, you know.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, she is like pounding booze on stage, and by the end of it, she couldn't even stand up.
Oh, geez.
My dad was with me. He's all pissed off. He's like, "What did we pay for? This is bullshit." You know, but you have some performers like that. you know?
Yeah, that's shocking.
I mean, Jim
Morrison.
They're
not going to get far. It's already a cover band, though, so they ain't going nowhere.
But think about Morrison. You know, Morrison, how many times was he crawling all over the stage and spinning around? But that was almost part of the performance. It's like you wanted to see that.
Oh, that's true.
Like,
people
you
probably did want to see that.
I want to see Jim hammered on stage just being a buffoon.
Yeah. Did you ever hear the story of Nirvana performing and the bassist, like, threw his bass up real high in the air?
Mm-mm.
And it landed on his head and knocked him out.
No way.
In the middle of the concert. And supposedly Kurt Cobain was so pissed off. They were like dragging him off the they were dragging the bassist off the stage, and Kirk's like kicking him.
No way.
He's like, you son of a bitch. They must have had a backup bass guy, but I always thought that was a good story.
Yeah, I need to find that one. I wonder if it's it's gotta be. I'm sure it's on film somewhere.
Yeah, it'd be cool if they have video of it. You know, I liked about Zach a lot is he was always reflecting on things that, like, men stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in the Navy anyway. So when you're with military people, like, you think about that, what it is to be strong and be seen as, like, a masculine man. Then he talked a lot about even those guys that built the Empire State Building, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think everyone can agree. You see those pictures, you're like, I am not that tough.
So,
like, whatever that is, I am no way.
Yeah, like, those pictures are insane.
Unreal.
Those pictures are so cool. They're eating their little, you know, like, brown bag lunches up on, you know, 300 feet in the air.
Yeah, I thought it often gets really fucking windy up there. I'm so surprised that they're just like, that's it. They're having their lunch. Like, they couldn't have just built, like, at least a tiny platform for them to have lunch on. It's like, what are we doing?
They're just sitting on the steel beams. No big deal.
Hanging
in
off
pants
a building.
Too. They're always in pants and like a heavier jacket, right? It's like middle of summer, but they have pants on and like old
no safety helmet.
Wooden boots.
What freaks me out about those pictures, wooden boots. What freaks me out about those pictures is the guy in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know why I always think about that. If I'm on the edges, I'm like, it's okay. I can move around.
Yeah.
But if you're the fucking guy in the middle, you're stuck. You ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, you have to wait for everyone to finish their damn lunch just to get out of there.
Right.
Yeah, I want to be the closest one in for sure.
Oh, I'd like to be.
Or just, if you fall over, you're not, what do? Grab onto your buddy? You can't do that if you're in the middle. You can't really grab anything. If you were to slip, you're not going to take your buddy down with you. That'd be a dick move.
You shouldn't. That'd be a dick move. Imagine falling with someone that just pulled you off. You'd be like, you piece of shit. Thanks a lot. Now my family are going to starve. They said they only lost like 5 people building that.
That's crazy.
And they built it in just over a year. That bit to me didn't make any sense. Yeah, I can't understand how they could have built it that quick way back then. I mean, obviously they had cranes and stuff, but yeah, incredible.
Well,
there's just so many brutal jobs, dude.
There sure are, buddy.
So many brutal
there
jobs.
Sure are. There's a lot worse jobs than what we're doing. Did you see that Fred Becky? So they went into Fred Becky's. There was a documentary about this climber that I actually watched, and Fred Becky is the ultimate dirtbag. I can't remember why they started talking about it. Was it the alpinist? Oh, they were talking about the alpinist because that one gentleman died with the guy who did Free Solo. I can't think of his name right now. That movie Free Solo. That movie was insane, where he just climbs up mountains without a rope. So his friend was in another climbing movie, and they died. One of them died.
Oh, yeah, and the ice climbing guys.
Right, so that happened, but then Rogan starts talking about Fred Becky, and this guy was in his 80s. I think he's passed away now, but he would just climb every single day no matter what. That's all he cared about. He would sleep outside on the dirt, like, without even, like, a sleeping bag or any sort of pad to sleep on. And this guy's, like, in his 80s, and he's still climbing. I mean, he had first descents all over the world.
Wow.
You know, and when they were first climbing, he was in, like, you know, they had a little rope and not even backpacks, you know. It was just, like, a rope and, like, one little ice pick. And they're climbing shit that, you know, to this day, people haven't even climbed. It was a very cool documentary. But I think the point of what Joe was talking about is this one-track mind, right? And kind of with musicians, you have the same thing. You have to be so obsessed with something to get to that level, right? And he ruined all of his friendships. He ruined all of his marriages. Like, the guy basically ruined everything just for climbing. But it made him such a legend in the climbing world, right? It's like, oh, this guy is who you need to be, right? He's the ultimate dirtbag. So it's, he has, like, some, this cred.
There's some incredible passion in that that I think everybody respects, even if, you know, he did leave a trail of, like, damaged relationships in his wake.
So many.
And didn't really take care of himself, to be honest.
Right.
But there's something so beautiful about it. I mean, you need people like that. Do the do you relate to that a bit when you think of, like, the ski bums that you know, the people that were just all in for skiing and snowboarding?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But this guy is a whole nother level, though. I mean, there's one thing to be into skiing and snowboarding and go every day.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Sometimes in life, we're faced with tough choices, and the path forward isn't always clear. I know that's happened to me on many occasions, and it's very disconcerting. Whether you're dealing with a decision around a career, relationship, or anything else, therapy helps you stay connected to what you really want while you navigate life, so you can move forward with confidence and excitement. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. I'm a big supporter of mental health therapy and going to therapy. I see a therapist and it improves my life dramatically. If you're thinking of starting therapy, definitely get to BetterHelp's website and try them out. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/JRER today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/JRER.
But a lot of those people also are waking up late. You know, maybe they drank too much the night before. A lot of those guys are drinking too much too. This guy wasn't drinking too much. He was out there every day, early morning, rain or shine, didn't matter, right? That's all he thought about. I mean, it's a whole new level of dedication to something. Like an obsession to the point, like I said, where it ruins everything else in your life. It's kind of crazy. It's a brilliant documentary.
It is crazy. I mean, I don't recommend being like that, but also I think we need people like that too. It's probably a difficult life though. It's probably hard, you know, in a lot of ways.
Should
we jump over? Either way, I think Zach is great. I think what he was really focusing on a lot is, like, and what Joe was even bringing up with that is just, like, the passion mm-hmm. of men and that focus and dedication to something that's admirable. And, you know, that kind of, like, focus in the direction of masculinity, right? I mean, like we said, Zach's young, and he's still finding out a lot about himself and in this new space of being very famous. I think also knowing Joe, because Joe's had 30 years of being famous and has got progressively more famous. I think in a lot of ways, he's probably a really good mentor to, like, these younger people coming up and being famous in the sense of, like, how to keep your life on track. You know, don't get too ahead of yourself.
Yep.
And
well, there was that. There was the last thing too, I think, is worth mentioning, because they were drinking Bud Light, so they had to, you know, throw that in there. And you know, his sister, he was saying his, I don't know if it's his younger sister or older sister, is gay and then has a transgender girlfriend. So that was interesting to hear, right? You think this country star, right? A lot of people listening to him probably hate Bud Light. You know, and he's getting hated on for probably a lot of the things he's saying. Cause he just I just loved at the end where he's just like, dude, it's just about love. Like, I don't see that person any differently than anyone else in my life. I actually love this person wholeheartedly. That was cool to hear. And I think that's just a testament to his age too, right? The kids in their 20s just don't see it the way older fucking people do because they weren't around it.
No doubt.
And so that was cool.
Yeah,
that was cool to hear.
Exposure helps. It's not like everyone has a sister that is dating someone, and, you know, you just more exposure with any types of bias usually minimize your frustration with it.
Right.
And good for him.
It's like people are scared of what they don't see, which is so silly, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. They're just seeing it as, like, a cultural whole, you know, without knowing any individuals. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff with that whole culture that is kind of frustrating, you know, but It's good that people are open-minded.
Fuck yeah.
That's a better way to be. Better way.
Love one another,
let's jump over to Patrick. What time are we at right now?
We are at 22 minutes, amigo.
All right. Okay.
What do we got? Patrick Bet.
David.
David.
Yeah.
This guy's a
talker. So he has a ginormous podcast, made a lot of money selling an insurance company, and knows a lot about business and also kind of like the politics that go with it. And now does a lot of interesting interviews. He had a really good one with Andrew Tate. You know, I can't remember. Did he say that he met Tucker? Did he have Tucker on his podcast?
I don't know. I don't remember him telling us if he did or not. I just remember him saying that Tucker should run for president.
Right.
And that he had a good
Tucker
chance.
Was like nice to his family.
Hmm.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't think Tucker would do that. He must be making way more money not just talking about politics than he would ever make in politics. I guess that's probably a lie, because all the presidents get super rich when they get out of office. So,
well, there was talk about that, about Biden stepping down. He's going to have a Simon Schuster book ready, waiting for him. That'll make $30 million, you know.
Yeah, no
just
doubt.
To have some sort of autobiography or written about him and step down. But then what do you do with Kamala? Like, does that just mean she runs the show? Because I don't know how people
surely
are going to feel about
gonna
that.
He's going to hang in there until the election's over, but he can't run again.
It's a scary
that
thought.
It just doesn't make sense. Well, that is. And also another thought that I don't really like is the idea of Gavin Newsom stepping up. I mean, you know, I lived in L.A. while he was there during the pandemic, and I saw what things he was enacting. I don't like that guy at all.
I don't know much about him.
Yeah,
too liberal?
Sucks.
Way too liberal?
That's what you need to know. Yeah, super liberal guy.
Yeah.
And doesn't represent what I believe a good Democrat should be, but he might be the most popular option.
I bet you he is, man. I bet you he is.
Well, Patrick said he went on Hannity on Fox and like held his own. That's hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So he's obviously a quote unquote good politician. But what does that mean these days? It doesn't really. A good politician today is just someone that can get votes that represents himself. It doesn't mean that he's representing the people well.
True. And does it even matter? I mean, they also went to a lot of talk about once you're in office, what even happens, you know? It's the reason why I think people like Trump so much, right? Because he wasn't a real politician, even though he's a scumbag in my mind. He still wasn't a real politician. And so he didn't know
Gavin
the rules.
Is.
Yeah.
So he's an industry man, if you can say it that way.
There you go.
But like he had just played by whatever the rules are. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I'd way rather see RFK in there.
Yeah, I mean, I would too, just because it's so much different and it's going to mix things up. But let's be honest, man, he's got nothing on Bernie Sanders, and we couldn't even get Bernie in office. So
it's a good point.
Sorry, guys, they're gonna take down whoever they can, and they're gonna do what they've always done. They're gonna pick their person, and they're just gonna keep the puppet in there. And let's be honest, we could talk about it.
Well, the Democrats are very good
at
doing that. Let's be honest.
Yeah, everybody is.
I think the best party at orchestrating who we get to pick, regardless of who we really want. They pick who they want.
Exactly. We saw it with Hill Dog. You know, nobody wanted Hill Dog. Bernie would have beat Trump all day long. I don't care. Any haters out there, no way Trump would have beat Bernie, in my mind. No way. He had the kids vote just like Obama. How do you think Obama won in 2008 and 2012? It was the kids vote. It was the 18 to 30 year olds that brought him into office, dude. Bernie would have been the same. Absolutely. With Obama. Totally, dude. Remember the just rush of young people getting into politics when Obama was in office or when he was running.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I had never been into politics before in my life until that. Really. I got really excited about it. I remember driving to California from Montana to help campaign for Obama. I can't believe I did that.
Wow.
I was stoked, you know, and I was young at the time. I was like 25.
He had a lot of good energy. It really did feel like that whole change thing. Like, he'd change everything and mix it up, and it would be what fixes things. And
he was a good statesman, right? But he still was just a good talker that, like, did really did much change. I mean, he still, what, had more drone strikes than any other president? I mean, that's the shit that scares me, because I thought he was a trustworthy guy, right? But it's still, it's the same thing. It's smoke and mirrors, no matter who's up, who's in there. And again,
well, I think it gets progressively higher each president. So I'm pretty sure Trump out-droned Obama, and probably Biden's out-droning Trump.
No, I don't think Trump did.
Expanding.
I don't think Trump. No, I don't think Trump did a bunch. No, that was the one thing that I liked about Donnie, is that he wasn't all about war and drone and whatever else that we're doing behind the scenes that we don't know about, right?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, what Rogan says over and over and over again, we've got to get someone in there who doesn't take money from special interests and doesn't just play with the system. But how do you do that? I don't know. RFK obviously doesn't, you know, isn't ruled by the system. But again, that's going to make him not win because people are scared of that. I mean, this poor guy's, both his uncle and his dad were assassinated by questionably our own government. We don't know. But what did Patrick say, that 67% of people now think that our government had something to do with JFK's assassination? That's crazy, dude. That's a high number.
And now, well, I mean, saying, especially when Tucker is on Fox, like, straight out accusing the CIA of killing JFK.
Oh, you know, that's,
I mean,
why he got
holy
fired.
Holy shit.
That's why he got fired, right? I mean, there had to be why he got fired. They don't say that, but
I'm sure it didn't help.
And now, you know, to think that Fauci, you know, you look at the history behind that AIDS medicine that he was using. What was that called? AFT or ATF?
I don't remember.
Alcohol,
but
firearms,
yeah, whatever
tobacco.
That was.
No, AZT. Yeah. AZT, I've got it in my notes. Okay. So it was way more expensive, right? This is back in the AIDS pandemic was going on. Right. HIV, everyone had HIV. Everyone's freaking out. And there was talk. I remember when the Plandemic movie came out on YouTube, and I heard of that, was the first time I had heard about that. You remember the Plandemic when it first came out, how powerful that was? And that gal used to work with Fauci. And I remember thinking that was the first time I started questioning stuff just a little bit. I was like, wait a second.
I think a lot of that one was debunked, but it does bring up some interesting questions.
But it talked about that AZT medicine, and I don't know enough about it, but what Joe was saying is that it would jack up the price, right? Everyone ended up taking it and then dying. Like, it didn't help them, right? And you look at what happened with this emergency use authorization, they had to debunk all the stuff, even though, you know, it seemed to work for a lot of people. I don't know enough about it, but the guy got a freaking, Nobel Peace Prize for inventing ivermectin. So it's got to do something, right? It gets rid of all this bacteria in your blood, right? It's used for malaria, right?
Yeah, I thought that ivermectin was more for viruses.
Oh, no, that was that's the dewormer stuff. But it still gets rid of everything in your body. Like, it just, it clears you out like a
There was certainly other
amoxicillin, right?
Than just the vaccine, but they needed that emergency use authorization. And
right.
You can't enact that if you acknowledge that there's any other medication that works.
Exactly.
And that's bullshit, because there was other medication that probably worked better.
And yeah, I mean, are we going to come out and people start realizing that? I don't know. But It
talking
seems
about things
like
that
it
are
would.
Fucked up along those lines. What about the fact that BlackRock and those other,
and Vanguard,
like one or two other,
Vanguard and Statesman, is that the other one?
I think so.
State Street.
Oh, H Street. Yeah. So they're like the highest, biggest stockholders in like 88% of like
88%
the S&P 500.
Yep. Top
traded stocks.
Top shareholders. Yep.
It seems like that is definitely a problem.
Like, absolutely.
Who is running those things?
I mean,
what was that guy's name? Larry Fink.
Dude, I mean, look, BlackRock, is BlackRock not getting all of the, are they the new Halliburton? Is that's the new, pretty much the new Halliburton, right?
I think so, yeah.
Let me just look this up.
They definitely have defense contracts.
Because they have all the defense contracts. Yep. BlackRock, Inc. is an American multinational investment company based in New York, founded in 88. Initially as an enterprise risk management, BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager with $8.59 trillion in assets.
What?
$8.59 trillion. Not billion, folks. Yeah, Larry Fink is the founder. It's just mental. You know that these guys have more power than anyone else in our government. They have to be in cahoots. I mean, if they're getting all the defense contracts, right?
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened with Halliburton.
I'm sure if Larry Fink calls the president could be in the middle of taking a shit and he snips that bitch off to get to that phone.
Well, that's a
like
good,
some
good
of these people are that powerful for sure.
Oh, God.
You know, I would imagine George Soros is up there too. I mean, these giant donors, it's like they make or break who goes in and becomes president. I think it's just the illusion that the U.S. president is the most powerful man in the world. It's
definitely
like no
not.
Chance, dude.
Definitely
there
not.
Are people behind the scenes for sure.
Largest company of its kind in the world. Yep.
Wow. Imagine if they bought Spotify and then they were just like, Joe, you need to be pro BlackRock. Otherwise, we're going to shut you down.
Yeah, it says the company's U.S. Aerospace and Defense Fund has billions of dollars invested in major weapons contractors like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Boeing, General Dynamics, and Northrop Grumman. I haven't heard of that one. These firms are the top recipients of Pentagon contracts, splitting $100 billion in our tax dollars among them. That was in 2017. So you know that's probably tripled.
Yeah. Well, Northrop Grumman is a very... you had an ex-girlfriend that works there. That's a huge defense contract company. I think they make fighter jets and missiles and
nuclear
stuff like
bombs.
That.
It says which aims to create $1.2 trillion in nuclear weapons buildup, which aims to create a new generation of nuclear bombers. Northrop Grumman. And then we've got ballistic missile submarines by General Dynamics, nuclear warheads by Honeywell and Bechtel. Submarine launch ballistic missiles. I mean, it goes on and on. Lockheed Martin obviously is a huge defense contract supplier, mm-hmm. right? And you look at this, and this is the stuff that people aren't talking about enough. And that's what I love about, that was my favorite part about this conversation. And it came right at the end because that is the real stuff that's happening. And you look at, 88% of the top Fortune 500 are owned by these four companies. I mean, they're just running they're running the world.
Yeah.
And yet we sit here and bitch about trans people. Who gives a flying fuck? Let's talk about how the world is owned by three companies.
Yeah.
That
basically.
Are in cahoots with most governments and definitely ours.
What did they say about Ukraine? Like, we've sent more money there than I think Russia spent on their military last year.
Ugh.
That's insane.
Right. Yeah, clearly there's an agenda there, right? Who's making the money, baby?
Right. What is the real plan?
It's pretty crazy. A lot of questions up there, and that's what I liked about Patrick. He's asking a lot of questions, right? I appreciate
that. I'm kind of amazed, really, that obviously they're in the world of podcasting, right? So it's much harder to regulate that.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have hosting sites. You still have advertisers. You still have, people that, in a sense, they have to answer to
right.
some degree, right?
Right?
They're not completely free to say whatever. How long before, the powers that be get their dirty claws into these free speakers? I mean, do we finish out this generation? And then by the next generation, they're like, oh, we need to control this. I mean, surely to a lot of people, Rogan is already seen as like, just something that needs to be managed.
Oh, absolutely.
Whether it's a threat or not, it's like people probably think that because he's just so popular. And a lot of
right.
these podcasts are getting that way.
Yeah. And, I have heard a lot, at least from my brother, who I've brought up a few times on this pod. But, I think people on the left tend to forget that Rogan is a pretty freaking liberal dude, right? Because of the people he has on. And I always try to defend him. Like, no, he's just bringing on people. Have an open mind. He's not saying what's right or wrong. He's just having people on that have opinions about things. But in their mind, it's dangerous, right? If it's somebody who's, you know, maybe they don't agree with, or maybe they think isn't telling the right things. Like, I would think that a lot of people on the left wouldn't like this Patrick guy, right? Patrick Bet David. I thought he was a very personable, just, you know, good speaker. Obviously has a lot of opinions about things, but he seems like a guy who just wants to get at the truth. And that's what I love about Rogan. And that's what how I always try to defend him, right? It's like, he's just a dude who wants to speak the truth.
Yeah.
And the
problem
is,
though, it's the ideologues in each party. You even if you question one thing that the party that you love is saying, they just throw you in the category of, oh, you're on the other side then.
Right.
Like, you must be, you know, a liberal, or you must be a conservative. And it's like, maybe I'm just a person that asks questions.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want to just believe anything that I'm fed. And I'm like, you know what? I don't care for what this is.
And maybe, like, we should all be talking about how our defense contract is getting run by companies that have the most money in the world. What did we just say? $5.6 trillion in assets?
Dude, it's like these numbers are so big, people don't even think about it.
No.
It's like when we were sending billions over to Ukraine. It was like, yeah, we just sent $6 billion and now we're sending $5 billion, and everyone's like, well, we got to protect them and say, and maybe we do, I don't know, I'm too dumb to know, but I'm like, hold the phone here with these numbers.
It's
like, we're not talking
much.
About $50 million. This is an insane amount of money. Like, what is this costing everyone in the US? Like $5,000? Where are you getting this money from?
Right Pretty crazy,
they're,
man.
Like, also, you can't buy houses now because they're too expensive.
Yeah.
Like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Good
job.
It is
nuts. It is nuts. That 7% interest rate will get you.
Yeah. What did you think about, like, all the pressure for him to have, or Joe to have Trump on? I mean,
look,
obviously, it would be probably one of the biggest podcasts ever. Joe doesn't really give a fuck about that because it's all about whether he wants to talk to the person or not.
Right.
I'm sure Trump would go on there, you know? I'm sure he would. He loves to do that. He likes to go on podcasts. Podcasts blow up when he's on there, and he knows it. And this is a platform where it can't get taken down. Like, Spotify is not going to take down a conversation with Donald Trump, for sure.
No, absolutely
so
not.
It's, well, but every time Trump talks on another podcast that is on YouTube, they take it down. They literally just ban them all.
Part of the system, baby.
But yeah, Patrick really wanted him to Joe to talk to Trump. I mean, it was, he almost had to take a step back and apologize to Joe a bunch of times. It was getting pretty weird there
so
for
many
a second.
Times. Remember Joe at the end, or even towards the middle, dude, is that the only reason you came on this podcast?
I like it.
I didn't realize he's had some con artists. He said that he had one recently. I wonder who it was. But Joe had some con artists on his show and didn't publish it. He said it right at the end there, towards the end.
Oh, that was interesting. I would love to hear those. I wonder who he had on.
I know.
You think it was the Liver King?
He said it was recent. But yeah, the Liver King, that would make sense.
Nah, he knew that guy was full of shit for a long time. But I would like to know who it was.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way of figuring it out. Because I would imagine if a person went on Rogan, they would then afterwards announce it on their Instagram or social media.
Yeah.
And probably put that picture of him and Rogan together, you know, up. And that often happens before the episode comes out.
Yeah.
So it's like, when did they find out?
Figure it out.
So there might, if anyone out there is like good at searching shit, if you could figure out who Rogan probably had on but didn't post it, send us an email. The email's in the bio. We would love to hear.
Love
you
that.
Know, and if you're just bored and you got nothing to do next week, maybe just spend some time trying to figure that out. We'd appreciate it. We'll probably get a prize for you or something.
Love that.
All right. Is that about the time for us?
I think so, buddy. Maybe a quick thing about Brian Callen. I mean, I think Brian Callen's legit. He's awesome.
He's always fun.
It was fun talking
Brian,
about.
Yeah, Brian, stop trying to get Brendan Schaub to fight again. That's ridiculous.
But keep taking keep taking shrooms on stage. I'll end with that. Good job, Brian.
That's it. All right. Thanks, guys. As always, appreciate it, Todd. And we will talk to y'all next week.
All right. Peace out.